Okay, welcome back. We are chatting with Dr. Tim Murphy, the author of a book, Christ Cure. I have read the book. Jimmy has read the book. We highly, highly recommend it. After you listen to what Tim has to say, go out and buy a copy. You're going to be like donating money to helping our armed service people keep their heads straight. Jimmy, take over, bud.
Sure. Yeah. So, Representative Murphy, your commitment to not only the nation through your service in the Navy, but also to Congress, and of course your commitment to your family. I think those are really, really important statements for people to listen to. Your book, The Christ Cure, I think is something that people should read to begin spreading the word of how we can get out of this negative position that we're right now in our nation. And to me, it's somewhat unbelievable. And I was wondering about, as a psychologist, as someone that actually kind of studies this and looks and has an idea of where we should go, some of the things that we're facing right now in America with social media for our children, the information overload, of course, the censorship, but some of these ideas, the ideologies that are being pushed on our children, the gender ideology, and this huge push in sports to make them equal to everything, the equity principles. How do you believe that's affecting us as a nation, but in particular, our youth?
I think it's very damaging what we're doing. We've known for years and years and years of research on children. Their minds are not even developed. Their brains aren't really fully developed until into their mid-20s, and the brain continues to develop. Up until that time, kids and teenagers can be smart with some logic, but they're still run by their emotional system in their brain, the limbic system, and particularly young children, so preteens and down. And that's why we have laws. You can't drink till you're 21. You can't vote till you're 18. You can't be in the service until you're 18. You can't even get a tattoo till later in life. But when we push on children, you can choose your gender. It's fluid. Chromosomes mean nothing. Science is important, but we're going to ignore that with chromosomes. We're confusing children and completely ignoring the science of the development of the human brain. Now, I have a grandchild, and the other day, for last week, she wants me to call her some other name. She wants to pretend she's a duck. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to take her down and throw her in the pond. But some people would see that. Well, let her. I don't care if she explores the world of imagination. But when we tell children that what they're thinking, and then adults project their own thoughts on this, and then mutilate children with hormones and with castration and with mastectomy when they are preteens and teens, I see that as horrific. Now, when adults are adults, they want to make their choice, they can make their choices. But there's no way we should be looking at these things in children and assuming they can think through things, because they're still run by their emotions. Those emotions are fluid. They change. And we need to respect the development of kids as they go on. Now, I should say this, too. There was some study that said, but only 1% of people change their mind. That's not true. That's a survey that was done, I think, out of Canada. That was a survey of people they could find when they went back 5 years later. They didn't go back to those people in their 20s and 30s. They went back when they were still young. And yet, here's another thing that happened. There's a higher suicide rate and depression rate among people both before and after any kind of physical surgical changes. So it doesn't change things for many of them. Some studies say, yes, they do. Those are oftentimes done by surgeons in those studies, but looking at certain people. But if the suicide rates are higher too, why would they be higher if everybody was happy? So there's so many things I'm saying. This is not just there, but the whole issue of subjectivity. There's no truth anymore. Truth gives people stability. Love and truth are the key things that help us have stability. But when everything is permitted, nothing is forbidden, and there is no stability for people to return psychologically to some sin. That's why I like to go back to the Bible. A couple thousand years of this, these lessons of how people struggled and came around and how the Lord can help us in our lives heal. That's an answer that, quite frankly, most psychologists don't know how to talk about with people, and we ought to be teaching them how to work on these issues rather than just work on saying, let's have kids have some mutilation surgery.
Yeah, Dr. Murphy, I just want to say one thing. I attend a men's group once a week where we bring up topics that are, similar to that. This is a pretty sophisticated group of guys, and we talk about a lot of what we talk about on this particular program. And it just so happened that yesterday we talked about what are the motivators, what really motivates mankind. And, you know, something that I have learned from doing this program is that, believe it or not, power, I think, is the biggest motivator. And that, I think, the seeking of power is the reason that our society is getting so misdirected right now. You know, the average politician, and I know a few politicians, you know, on a personal level, and these guys, they do, it basically, the really good guys do exactly what you did. They found another, they find another line of work when they realize all they're doing is striving for power. They find another line of work and they really make a difference in society when they do that. Can you comment on that idea for me?
Well, I know when I was in Congress and the state senate, I was really focusing a lot on healthcare reform, particularly in the mental health area. We really shortchanged. I mean, people talk about mental health, but very little is done about it. I was the author of legislation at the head of the National Institute of Mental Health, that was the most significant legislation, at least in the last 50 years and probably in the last century or two in the United States, to provide real care for people who are mentally ill, particularly the seriously mentally ill. Much of that bill was passed. We didn't get everything we needed, but everything we needed was something, everything we wanted. It had some levels up there, but some of it was watered down. But as far as members go, I think there's a lot of well-intentioned people. But in the U.S. Congress, in the House of Representatives, where you're one of 435 people, it's hard to have a big impact. Think about it. If you had a football team with 435 members on it, yeah, there's some people that move to the front, a lot of people move to the back, but it's tough. It's also a place where you function best if you're humble. And it's hard to do that because in the midst of all this, you're being attacked from all sides, particularly now from the media, from people who stalk you. I had people in my front yard with cameras. I had people putting graffiti in on my office. I had someone else with death threats against me. It is emotionally, mentally, physically very difficult job. And people say, well, you guys are all rich and you have these things. No, these are everyday people. I believe that many are trying to do the right thing, but you get this tsunami of other things overwhelm you. That being the case, I think it is valuable when people do that to go back out to work, to contribute back to society. As I say, go back to your day job and what you're meant to do. I think there's a value for that.
I think it's quite interesting that, you know, you bring up the the challenges to go ahead and step up and represent. And of course, you know, we're seeing a lot of Americans probably just think and have thought for many years that it just goes along and they've got those impressions of, you know, the rich Congress members or the leaders, the elite. What they don't realize is that they're just people. They go forward. And then for someone to step up, the amount of pressure and the types of things that you're talking about that happened to you and that we are seeing in a tremendous, tremendous push by political powers and legal powers to silence people's voices right now. How do people step up to actually take responsibility to try to make it a better community or better society under all that pressure? I mean, what a challenge. And, you know, I got to applaud you for actually stepping up and doing it. And I know it actually really, really hurt you as well. Yeah. Some of the things that came up over time. And of course, you know, all of us are human beings. So it is difficult to see how we overcome this and how people continue to strive to do what's right for the society.
Well, in the short time we have, let me just say this, be an informed voter. Most people don't vote and most people are not informed voters. Let members of whatever elected offices know what value you have, what you want to see pass, what you want to go on. Talk to them, make sure there's accountability in conversation, not threats, but do those things. And I do hope that those who also are out there who are struggling, you don't have to wait for government to do it for you. One of the reasons I wrote this book is to empower people to do things on their own, to learn government's not going to save you psychologically. You have to do this. Follow the principles that I teach about and follow those of Lord teaching us too.
Yeah, former Congressman Tim Murphy, psychologist, commander in the United States Navy. Really appreciate you coming on the show. And of course, people go out there and take a look at The Christ Cure, his book, and get it on Amazon. And
I mentioned my website is drtimmurphy.com, where I put podcasts and blogs. That's drtimmurphy.com.
Tim, we'll put all of that information on our website. Many thanks.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.